Hey Bianca, are you going to show slides from your computer? Like as you're logged in now? It's fine if you are, I'm just asking.
Good afternoon.
Hey Chris. Hi Leslie. Wow. Hopefully B hears me. Or I don't know. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. So we'll call the meeting to order, and I'm actually going to do intros just because we're recording the meeting and Bianca's here helping with Renee out. So if we could just do a little round robin and say who is here, please. And Brady, if we could start with you, please.
Can you see the agenda?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. I'm still Brady Kerr, Music Industry Studies at Norco College, and the faculty co-chair for this committee.
You and Robert.
Hello, I'm Robert Delgadillo from Moreno Valley College, and I teach in applied digital media.
Thank you, Patrick.
Hey there, Patrick Scullin from Applied Digital Media and Printing in Riverside.
Leslie
Vargas, Public Affairs Officer with RCCD, stationed at Moreno Valley College.
And Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay Sweeney, Public Affairs Officer at Norco College.
Jessica.
Jessica Vieira, Public Affairs Officer at Riverside City College.
Claudia. You're going to make it work at some point. So as soon as you do, leave it off and I'll get to you. Tony.
Tony Rizzo, Media Production Specialist, Riverside City College.
Chris, either one.
Okay, Chris Rangel, Media Production Specialist, Moreno Valley College.
And this is Chris Clark, Executive Director of External Relations and Strategic Communications.
Chris LaVersa, Senior Graphic Designer.
And Ruth.
Ruth Liao, I'm with Media Production Specialist at Norco College.
Lenny.
Lenny Riley, Instructional Technology Specialist at Norco College.
Claudia.
Hi. I'm Claudia Figueroa. I'm the Administrative Coordinator for Academic Affairs at Norco College.
And Sama.
Hi, I'm a student at Norco College, and I'm the Senator of Activities for ASNC.
And thank you, because we don't always get students attending. So thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
The minutes are there for approval. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to take a look at them. We can give it a minute. If they're ready to move, I'd need somebody to make that motion.
I would love to make that motion, and I would also like to say we got a good gang here.
Agreed.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. I'll make it easy. Are there any in opposition? Any who want to abstain? Excellent. We'll pass that as consensus. Thank you. The topics for discussion, I think, is all in Chris's world today. So There's a list there. Chris Clark, I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right. Actually, Bianca, do you have the photography one?
Excuse
Or
me.
did, Bianca, do you have the photography guidelines, or did
The
we send?
photographer, let me pull them up.
It's okay. I can pull them up if you don't have them there.
I have the web map and logo.
Okay. Let's start with the photography and then we can move on to the others.
Okay.
A little out of order, but I'll share that one.
Right, yeah, I don't see the, I don't have the photography ones.
Everybody see that? Yes.
Yes. Yep.
All right. So this is a document that's been assembled by all of the photographers in that are specifically tasked with photography within the district and its colleges. So we had two meetings, and we've gone through this several times. We'll just go through this in brief. And as I get to a point, if you have questions or comments, please interject. So the purpose of and scope is here. And why we're doing this. We talked a little bit about the photo releases, and we have photo release for a link to the photo release forms there. We talk about in the case where people are in public spaces, even on campus, where there's not a reasonable expectation of privacy, there is no photo release required. When taking photographs of people in locations where privacy is generally assumed or expected, for example, classrooms, offices, libraries, study rooms, etc., the photographers are advised to obtain a signed photo release, and also if the subject is under 18 years of age, you need the signature of a parent or guardian on that photo release. As far as the assignment preparation and communication, this is basically saying that anytime that there's a photography assignment given, the photographer is responsible for confirming the following with the assigned requester or assignment requester. The image use, the deadlines and delivery expectations, who will be on site to meet them, the principal subjects and names of the people to be photographed, location details, and design considerations. It's noted here that the photographer should capture a variety of compositions to support both immediate project needs and potential future uses. So we keep an archive of all of these photographs, and therefore we need to make sure that we have suitable poses and shots that can be used for marketing later. The file formats, we recommend that all photography is captured in RAW format and that they utilize that when they're using software to edit the photographs. When they are stored and uploaded to the digital asset management system, or basically any place you're going to store them other than your original files, they should be saved as high resolution JPEG. Composition standards, these are helps. Since this document is for anyone that's taking photography on the campuses, we've put in kind of best practices that should be used for somebody that's even using their phone or that type of thing. Remembering these things regarding composition are important. Talk about background, lighting, working with subjects, direction and blocking, and then, of course, the image processing and integrity. Basically, if you use Lightroom, you'll take care of most of the requirements there to process your photos. The metadata and file naming standards are included here so that people know how to tag them in the metadata. And then when they upload them into the system, this is the information that's captured. We have a file naming convention. As far as uploading and archiving, so they have to be fully edited, tagged, and keyworded. They must be the high-resolution JPEGs. The images are loaded into a folder according to school and function and year. The raw files and Lightroom catalogs may be archived locally on approved external drives as well as online. Processing timeline. Expected a curated selection of 5 to 12 images should be delivered promptly for social media or time-sensitive needs. So this is immediately following an event. The best 5 to 12 images need to be sent to whoever's writing the article. Usually it's the public affairs officer. You need to make sure that you're including the VIPs and dignitaries, anybody that's getting an award. And the objective is within the next day or with even within a few hours so that we can send out a press release or publish an article. Any remaining images should be fully processed, tagged, and shared within 3 to 5 business days. And a link to the completed image set should be provided to the assignment requester, graphic designers, as well as any other important administrators on your distribution list. Cell phone photography, we have a little section here. And then more best practices before you shoot, how to take better photos, lighting tips, submitting photos, and this is all related to the photography best practices, especially as they apply to the cell phones. Any questions, comments, corrections?
Chris, we have a re revision with this one. It's not an updated one.
You have that.
Yeah, I'll send it with you because this is the one we had talked about, and this is an updated one.
Can you point out a thing or two that is different?
This did go through a lot of revisions, so I'm not surprised that I don't have
Yeah,
ready.
no, that's fine. It's just we've done a lot more revisions with our team, and this is probably the most updated one. But we can always talk about it, another time.
So to Ruth's point, what the intent is for all of these today, and we can continue to talk about photography, or Chris can move on to the next one, is for this to be like a first read. These would come back at the May 8 meeting, where we would take the items, we would take each of these for action. So if we can get Ruth's copy out, to everybody, if this is the most final version, then that would be great. And then people can review it between now and the May 8 meeting.
Yeah,
Yes?
today
Yeah.
we're just doing the first read. So we'll send out the, I think at this point, since we've already gone through this document, we'll go through and send out the most recent version. That way we can verify that we have the most recent version, and we'll send it out to the whole team. So when we have our next meeting in 2 weeks, if there's any final comments, we can talk about it then. Any other suggestions, ideas, questions?
Chris, it's Claudia. I'm wondering, I missed the part about the requesters. What did you say about the requesters?
There's a photography request form, and then those requesters are supposed to give to the photographer a list of the shots that they want with the and identify the key people that they want in the photographs. Then the expectation is that after the event, within 3 to 5 business days, they would be sent a link from the photographer to the photos that were taken and that are uploaded into the digital ads management system. And there is a photo request form that we ask you to use to make the initial request.
Okay, thank you. I've seen that request form. I've just never received any photos when I've requested photographers. So I'm glad to hear that that's part of the process now. Thank you.
Other questions, comments on photography? Okay, Chris, go ahead and move on to whatever you are planning to go to next.
Okay, let's go to campus maps next, and I'll have Mark Knight go through that one.
As they're bringing it up, I'll just quickly go through the maps. We are delegating responsibility to facilities for the official locations and or new offline buildings. Anything that needs to be updated on official maps will be coordinated with the facility department at each location. We're suggesting that a regular review process be put into place that at least on an annual or more frequently if needed review of the map be done, and the designers in the creative services will make any necessary changes or updates. And also work with the web application technicians to update any web maps as well. Any questions, suggestions, comments?
Okay, this is another one of those that have people take a look at. So we'll make sure that an email comes out to everybody with all of the current versions because it sounds like photography needs to be updated. So please don't expect that this will be your only attempt at to comment here. So, but if you could review them before the May 8th meeting, that would be great. So, I guess Chris, go on to the next one. Thanks.
All right. Next one is the logo design. So this is logo development and usage guidelines. And I'll thank Patrick Scullin for a lot of his committee's work on this. Mark and or Patrick, do you want to go through this?
I'd love to have Mark go through it.
I'd love Patrick to do it, but I won't. I can briefly go through this. I feel that this is very much a rough draft, and I'd love comments and any kind of recommendations for this. I've talked with both Patrick and Chris Laverso, and we've batted around a whole bunch of different ideas, and as well as struggled with some of the, how do we even, what do we name or categorize different logos, and how are they used? What is a, what's an, you know, do we call things official logos? What is, what's a logo that is only used for a short period of time, for let's say a particular event or something like that? Is it, if it, if it's used by a club or a or a specific program? So there's a whole lot of different, there's a whole lot of different aspects that we wrestled with. I'm not even sure if we want to designate them as official logos or non-official logos. So I would be, I would love to get some feedback here. What, where we started was looking at what would be the necessity or the, a category of visual identity symbols or logos, and that would officially represent the institutions, and creating a process for the official review and approval of those things as an, for assets. So we've kind of identified that a permanent visual symbol, you know, representing the college or the district, and would go through a review and an approval process prior to it being implemented. Then, and so there would be a category that would fall, a category of logos that would fall under that, in the, within that group, let's say. Next, we went on to trying to identify, and I don't know if identifying is the right word, but to create a category for logos that aren't necessarily part for the entire institution. They might be a campaign or for a student organization or for a, let's say a campus resource or anything like that. There's a variety of things. Those may not need an official review and have to go through a committee for approval, but they still, they're still in somewhat representing something within the college or the district. And how do we ensure that those are appropriate and align with the college's brands? And then we also have temporary graphics that are used for like one-time events or other kind of internal, maybe they're not going to be used for anything other than kind of something temporary. So we would also have that. We do want to ensure that that everything kind of fits and is, doesn't represent the institution's brand or misrepresent the, or misappropriately use the official logos, things like that. So we're hoping to come up with, and I don't know how close we've gotten in this document, a review and approval process for those various different things. I'd say recommended is that, you know, all of, you know, an official logo be reviewed by the designated committee or constituent group, or what we're, for lack of a better term, authorized brand authority. I know at Norco, they, you know, Brady and would sometimes act as that for Norco at times, whenever we, there were a question about how the brand would be used. So, and then the second group, which in this document we called non-official logos, those we would request them being, going through an informal review process. And then temporary ones, we also recommend that they be reviewed, but they're, because of their limited use, they're, we would see them as, they're not necessarily that high of level of approval needed. So those would just be temporary. We tried to define, if you can go on to the next page, some the standards that we feel may be the most appropriate, that logos need to be professionally designed in quality. They need to be conceptually clear, visually strong, and technically sound. They need to reflect the professionalism of the institution, effectively be able to be reproduced, and they need to be a vector graphic. Some other, what we would call maybe just best practices, versatile, simple, where they can be implemented in various different sizes or environments, unique. They're not kind of in a short-term trend or something like that, and that they're just appropriate for a public education institution. So if Patrick has anything he wants to add, I would say that, you know, a lot of those nice words were written by him. So I'll give him as much credit as
it's a rough draft. Like you said, it was a suggestion just to help with practicality on how to handle the requests. We thought this was a logical way to organize it. So, but obviously, like you said, it's open for edit, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I could interject to, this has been something that we've put a lot of thought into this because we see a proliferation of logos that are poorly designed. And one of the challenges we have is when we go to use them and we want to use a reverse logo, for example, or a single color, then some of these that have, especially those that have graphics or photos embedded into the logo, they don't work a lot of times when you try to go to a black and white version or to a solid color version. There's certain rules and tips that we want people to be aware of. And that way, when somebody outside of the design department is designing a logo, we can refer them to this, to these guidelines, so that they have some idea of some of the best practices. We debated, should we have official and unofficial and even temporary, or should we only be concentrating on the official versions? You know, if somebody brings a, I'm just giving you some of the concerns here. If somebody brings in a logo that they say is just temporary, and so it doesn't go through any approval process, but they use it for a year, then suddenly that becomes a brand standard, and it could become very popular, correct? And then we're stuck with it, kind of. We might have to do a redesign, or we might have to do something to pull it into something that would be usable in multiple formats. So a lot of people design logos often in Photoshop or even Canva or other programs that they may not be able to save it as a vector graphic, for example. And then when you try to blow it up to a large size or try to use it on a poster or a banner, it doesn't work because you can't easily manipulate it to a larger size. It becomes digitized, if you will. So those are some of the concerns that we've kind of batted around. I know when we were looking at the website or the, excuse me, the, oh, what was it? I think it was the website one. When we were talking about that one, we decided we weren't going to talk about the unofficial websites because that wasn't under our control or under our purview. So we left those off, but so there's a lot of ways we could go with this, and we'd just like to get everybody's input and ideas on this. Jessica?
So I'm going to use the example of like the basic needs and wellness logo and even the athletics logo that we are soft launching. I think this is great. I think that these guidelines are needed, but I think we should also make sure, like, as our designers are creating these logos, that we also have our like the basic needs or the athletics or whoever's logo is created, put on a central hub that hosts all of our logos, even if it's Photo Shelter, where we a tag it logo so that everyone can have access to it. Because what I see at my college, at least, is people use a picture from an email and then scale it because they don't know where to access it. So we should also include wherever we're housing it, a link within these guidelines. So that's my only feedback.
Great, thank you.
Good point, Jessica. Thank you.
Of course.
Now, this one you should have, it was sent out yesterday morning, so you should all have a copy of this and can make comments or suggested edits. If you do that, I recommend that you track your changes before you send it in so that we know what's been changed. All right, I'm going to stop sharing and then reopen it with this other document.
You're just going to keep rolling.
Yep.
Thank you.
Just have to pull up the other one.
Hi, Thea. I don't care that you're late. Glad you're here.
Okay, so is Noelle on the call?
I don't see her.
Okay. Well, we owe a big thank you and acknowledgement to Noel and also to Denise and Mark for going through this and establishing these guidelines, especially with the new or the newly mandated standards for accessibility. This has been a very important project for us to do. So we'll go through this. Again, the purpose on this is to serve as the standards for creating, managing, and governance of websites across the district. And we talk about these standards are intended to ensure that all web properties provide accurate, timely, and accessible information. Support student success and institutional goals, maintain a consistent, professional, and user-centered digital presence, comply with applicable legal, regulatory, and policy requirements. And we note here, just like we have on the other guidelines, that these are to serve as a minimum standard when we talk about the district guidelines that come out. If the colleges want to do something that has more specifics or goes into more detail, that's just fine, but they should not alter these minimum standards. The guidelines are to apply to all district and college websites, departmental program and service web pages, all official web-based applications and digital content, and all individuals responsible for creating, editing, approving, or maintaining web content. Does not apply to instructional content or personal or non-official web pages not representing the institutions. Then we have a list of definitions, and these are important. I'll just point out a couple that I thought we should talk about. One is content owner, an individual who's responsible for the accuracy, quality, and approval of content within a specific department, program, or functional area. So the content owner is different from the web applications technician. Web applications technician is the one that's putting the content into the website, but the content owner is the one that's responsible for the accuracy, quality, and approval of that content. We use a content management system. All the websites are usually built on that system. One of the reasons that we do that is because of the accessibility standards that we're going to talk more about. We've already devised or designed specific templates that use our college colors and fonts and define the type sizes and how images are treated, how videos are treated. And the reason that we do that is to make sure that we're compliant with the ADA requirements, to make sure that the contrast between colors is appropriate so that someone that has difficulty seeing can still make out what's being said, or colorblind, or to make sure that the text is legible and not in the background or hidden. Talk about web governance, or excuse me, web administrator. Throughout this document, we talk about a web administrator, and this is the person or their role who's assigned to maintain web systems and enforce web standards with authority over publication as it relates to compliance, usability, and technical requirements. Typically, there's one person assigned for each of the websites, and a lot of times that's the website applications technician. In some cases, though, especially if it's just a department or a class or something like that that's doing something, it may be the content owner, maybe the exact same as the web administrator. But the web administrator has certain responsibilities to make sure that it's meeting the minimum requirements. So, and a lot of people don't understand or recognize their responsibility to do that. And especially we, right now we're required to maintain our websites in such a way that they comply with the WCAG ADA standards at the level 2. That has specific, if you go to that website, it has specific suggestions. A lot of this is qualitative. You'd have to look at it and see if you felt like the contrast was sufficient for people to be able to see. You'd have to make sure that the description or the alt tag for photographs is makes sense for what the photograph is. Doesn't go into too much detail, but has enough detail that somebody can get an idea of what the photograph is. Those types of things. So a lot of it is subjective judgment that is being used here. These are the guiding principles that were identified, that it's user-centered, designed to meet the needs of the intended audience, accessible by individuals of all abilities, clear and concise, accurate and current, consistent, and usable. RCC maintains a distributed web governance model. This means that not so some of the websites have many content contributors, and other websites only have one person that adds content to the website. So this is just saying that we have a distributed model, which means that we can have multiple people be able to insert content if that's needed. So we have the roles and responsibilities, again, of the web administrator, the content owners, and the content contributors. Here's on the accessibility compliance. This is what I was talking about, the WCAG 2.1 level, AA or higher. So these are just a short summary of accessibility requirements. The digital content standards. A content life cycle management. Mainly saying that you have to review the contents regularly to make sure that they're current. This talks about unsupported and restricted content. Styles, branding, and design, multimedia and files, out of privacy and security. Again, it'd be nice if we had control of all of the websites that interact with our websites and the content that's on those. And we do have a certain liability when we link to somebody else's website that it still conforms to the ADA standards and guidelines, especially if it's something that's mission critical or critical to the teaching that we're doing. So we've included these standards for those third-party websites. Search and optimization and findability. It's basically talking about tagging and titles. Analytics and continuous improvement. If you go onto our websites or if you follow any of our advertising, there's often links to landing pages. And on those landing pages, we use web analytics to see where the leads are coming from, where the people are coming from, how long they spend on the site, which links they click, and what content that they view, so that we can continue marketing online to them. Training and support, compliance and enforcement. These are some related policies and guidelines. We've included some of the bills that specifically talk about accessibility and copyright and intellectual property. And we've also linked to our social media guidelines, the writing style guide, and the brand guide. And then the fact that we will renew these guidelines periodically and make changes as they're required.
Thanks, Chris. Jessica.
I was curious if, like, Leo and Liz, the people that manage at RCC, were able to review this document before this meeting as well.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure they were able to provide their feedback because they handle it more. All good.
Yep, Leo was in a meeting with us on Tuesday where we reviewed this document and has given some input. We expect to get more. Like I said, this is a first draft or first read for us. And over the next 2 weeks, it'll be modified. But we had Noel, Leo, Lenny, Denise, Mark, myself, all in a meeting going over these.
Sounds good.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. Like I said, again, the intent will be to cover all four of these again on May 8th and answer any additional questions and make final tweaks and hopefully approve the final version that we post to that agenda. So please send any feedback or comment throughout so that we can either flag if there are discrepancies or accept from the collective, et cetera. Okay. Okay. At this point, I will ask if there are any college updates that anybody wants to share. I don't know. Moreno Valley, Norco, Riverside.
I'll defer to Lindsay.
Hello. Hey, just quick updates. We're starting to wrap up our 35-year anniversary. So we're going to probably start switching gears into thinking about maybe something, coming up with maybe a new tagline for the college. That's been mentioned to me. Nothing has been really drafted out. But it's something that it's starting to get talked about. So we're going to be working on that. I also mentioned to, Dr. Collins that our banners around campus are looking pretty run down. So I had mentioned that to him and I'm going to be looking into getting some quotes to get some refreshed banners around campus. So just to try to spruce things up a little bit. And then we just got a lot of exciting upcoming construction projects. The CHPK is really well underway. It's pretty cool to see the new buildings going up out there. And that's still on track to open up next June. So, we're going to be working on some grand opening stuff for that. Otherwise just in preparation for commencement, And that's all I can think of off the top of my head. Brady, do you have anything else?
No Move Fest, baby.
Oh yeah, No Move Fest, May 15th, save the date.
Free, 5 to 10 p.m. Lots of coolness happening. Be there or be square.
Nice. Anything else from Norco?
No.
Back to
Cool.
Nomu because I am working on planning it right now. We were just talking about it yesterday, but it is going to
Yeah.
be so fun this year. So I highly recommend everyone to go.
Awesome. Thank you.
I have a question. It's
Yes.
Claudia. Lindsay, you said that you're going to be getting some quotes for banners. So once you do that, will the will anyone be deciding like what's going to go on those banners, like the designs, the wording,
Yeah.
things like that?
Yeah, that hasn't even really been talked about. I think the starting point is just figuring out how much it's going to cost and see if that's something that we can do. And then we'll start moving into thinking about what those could look like and what they're going to say. We have a lot of really great new photos that I think we can start utilizing to replacing some of those. But yeah, right now it's just the research part of it.
Okay, and then so do you know who would typically decide what goes on them?
In my mind, it would be just we could put together a meeting of people and get some polling done just to see what people want to see. Do a little bit of research before we just start making changes. So that's what would be happening in my mind. But I would need to, connect with Dr. Collins and see what he's envisioning too.
Okay.
But I definitely think we need to have people participating in the process.
Yeah, I was just curious to see if it was this committee that would decide that. But thank you.
Oh no.
Yeah,
That I can tell you for sure.
I
Typically Norco does a pretty broad and inclusive process when things of marketing change on the campus. So that's been my experience from afar anyway.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Moreno Valley Riverside, who wants to go? Jump in.
I'll jump in.
Sweet. Go ahead.
I'll start, and then maybe Jessica or Tony has other updates too. But we are doing a soft launch and shopping around the athletic rebrand. Our plan next is to go to the Epoch committee and share the designs that have been created by our team and creative services. So we're looking forward to freshening up the athletic brand and fixing some of the branding problems we've had. Also, we got TigerCon next week, 29th and 30th on campus, big comic book event. We have special guests and student exhibitors. Plus, I'm teaching how to make comics, so who wants to miss that on Thursday? So that's what I've got.
Nice, thanks. Jessica?
I'll jump in. So Thea's CPL campaigns are now up and going for the billboards, but we should be seeing like YouTube Music and Spotify and all that good stuff launching this next month to encourage enrollment for credit for our prior learning. So I'm excited to do that both in English and Spanish. And then we also, just like the You Matter banners that have been around campus, we finally have the correct green for one of our, I think it's business law. So those are going to be replaced in this next month. And then athletics banners have been posted. We do have minimal amount of athletics banners due to funding, but we're hoping to secure maybe at the end of this year if there's any some budget left over to maybe order another round of them to replace to add on to what's going on. But my most exciting news is I'm working with Fine and Performing Arts to make sure that their events are being marketed. And I'm working with their box office so that they can streamline the process to working with the events calendar rather than me having to hunt down the information and putting it in our events calendar. So yeah, that's what's going on in mine. I'm gonna football toss to Tony and hear his updates if he has any.
Yeah, we had the re-entry conference with Dr. Grayson last Friday, and so I covered it, and she's already got the photos and she's distributing out as normal. And we created some videos, and we're just waiting for her to approve them, and then we'll throw them out to YouTube. We've got about three testimonials, and She had a big conference. There was like 300 plus people attended last Friday. So it was really, really well attended. So it was their fourth annual one too, I might add.
That's great.
And then today we had automotive. Yesterday and today we had automotive. I have the high schools come out, and I was covering that as well, and trying to get the photos and some other stuff out to them as quickly as possible by next week.
Nice. Thank you. Thea, you have anything? You didn't write a big check to have the CPL program named after you? Thea's CPL? That was
Right. Sadly, no. But I will say that I appreciate the discussion on accessibility. I know we had a large conversation yesterday, about that, as well as if this committee had any kind of AI related, solutions. We talked a little bit about that at our chairs meeting. I know San, not San Diego, LA, put like did a Play Labs. Thing where you can select through a drop down the college, and then it will put your document in their brand colors. So, you know, as we're sort of exploring this, I know certainly there's some that will feel comfortable using that and some that will not. But that could be something that, you know, we could think about.
It's interesting that you say that because I was talking to Chris yesterday, the day before, about maybe we should build a bot that people can, and it's structured on our standards. And it was following a conversation I had with Jessica of something she's already kind of worked on. So I would like to see us do that. I do want to see what the state is going to do on a couple of things and how the presidents want to engage. But thank you for saying that out loud because there's a lot of people in the classroom who I think are worried about a bunch of things, which maybe they should be, if for no other reason than there are some people out there who would just go look for it just because they could. So, anyway, other questions, comments on Thea CPL or anything else?
I have been doing a lot of debunking girl math podcast with our economics professor, and I've been doing with Club Rush, dodgeball tournaments. I'm doing the ASNC election pictures. I'm doing CTE field day pictures. So it's a lot, but yeah, thank you.
Nice. Lots of activity. Robert, did you have anything for Leslie from Moreno Valley?
Yeah, so we last month we started celebrating our 35th anniversary, and we're still celebrating. They've created some commemorative assets, digital assets, logos, graphics, which you can see on the background here on my Zoom screen. We had a celebration on March 19th. We have an upcoming one for our employees to celebrate the anniversary as well in May. And then there's going to be one coming up in October, and that's going to be a community celebration dinner. So lots to celebrate at this time. It's exciting. The social media content, a lot of what they're doing right now is reflecting on different milestones and, special moments over the past couple of decades. So everyone's been encouraged to share and to upload the content so that we can share that with the community as well. We have coming up in May our student art exhibition. That's going to be a juried exhibit, and that's the first time our students are going to get to exhibit at our new art gallery. So that's really exciting, in particular for students in visual and performing arts. So I'm really looking forward to that. And just again, lots to celebrate at this time. And our new president is doing an amazing job with his podcast as well as his YouTube videos, and just really just unifying the campus and keeping everyone in the loop. Leslie as well with the newsletter where, we're celebrating students and faculty and different events going on. So just a lot of positive changes and good things in the works.
Thank you. Chris or Leslie, do you have anything?
Leslie, do you want to go first?
Okay, I could go first. So, just FYI, we're currently running two different radio ads, one for our open house, one for 8-week enrollment. And Just today, I had somebody walk up to me and tell me they heard our ad on the radio. I still didn't think people listen to radio, but we are running those ads. We're going to start running ads for our bachelor's program. We're currently still running four billboards off the 60 freeway. And then we just met this morning because we're going to do a complete banner refresh to just make it look like commencement season is here for the students to feel highly engaged. We've been doing really well on our collaboration with high schools where their PIOs are sharing our stuff directly in their superintendent's letters, which is good. We have open house coming up soon. I think that's in 2 weeks. We've also went from roar to growl because we learned that mountain lions do not roar, they growl. So we have a new cartoon mascot that Veronica made that's going to be on stickers that we're going to give out to people. And then we also still have our partnership with Inland Empire Community News. So we have our banner on their homepage. We always get a feature in their newsletter. And right now they're working on a social media collab to highlight our faculty, student, manager, and classified employee diversity winners. And then they're going to focus on highlighting our graduates and doing stories of them. Their population reaches about 40,000 on social media. And then we recently did a photo shoot with 13 of our students to get more stock photos. Our district photographer came, as well as our MVC photographer, Chris, to capture these photos, which was going to give much more collateral to our district designers when they make stuff for us. And then our Black Church partnership, as well as just church in general, we have gotten several of the local churches announcements every week to highlight our programs and in three churches' actual video announcements. So that's all I have.
Sweet. Thanks, Leslie. Chris, you got about a minute.
Okay, I'll make it quick. We had an impromptu visit from Secretary Knox from the California Department of Labor, so that he was doing a tour of California community colleges. He decided to grace us with the visit real quick. Their people shot a video. It was bad audio because it was windy all around. I offered to clean it up for him, and somehow that was magically translated to, "I'll do the whole video for you." So we got that done and out quickly. Thank you, Leslie, for that help. Yeah. Other than
Awesome.
that, the podcast is still going. And then currently, to this is Black Student Success Week. I'm on location at UCR getting content. So real great turnout for everybody. And we'll have more social media content coming up, and especially it's grad month. So we're going to be primarily focusing on that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Can I get a few seconds to give some updates, or just a couple updates too?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So, the DEI committee is having the Cinco de Mayo celebration on Cinco de Mayo. It'll be a 2-hour event, and along with a lecture from one of our ethnic studies professors, and Brady students will be performing as well. Just to let everyone know, we are going to start our planning for our second annual car show. So, Lindsay, get your car ready because it's happening.
Awesome. Thank you. If there are future agenda items, please send them in an email to the DMCC email address. I just want to point out item 6, which is a decent number of the things that this committee has accomplished. So there's a lot of stuff that has come to and through that are now setting guidelines and standards across the district, which is super important. So thank you. Thank you. Unless there's anything else for the group, I thank you for all for the time, and I look forward to seeing you on May 8th.
Rebecca, one other item. Leslie,
Yes.
maybe you could tell us about what happened at CC Pro.
Oh, you're right. I can share
So
that we did.
everybody.
So we did have a successful CC Pro. We actually won two awards, a gold and a bronze award. So woohoo for all of us. Jessica wrote a great article about it. We also had two of us, I think me and Jessica, lead workshops there at CC Pro, which was great. And then I was blessed with the task to now I'm going to be the communications chair instead of the regional rep. So
You're super awesome.
we're very thankful for the district for supporting CC Pro for us, but also that they recognized our work for the great work we do.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out, because it is a collective effort. So I wish everybody a wonderful day, and we'll see you guys, everybody, on May 8th.
Thank you.
Thank
Okay.
you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.